Blog Talk Radio.
Of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. So glad you could join us today. 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 4 p.m. here on the West Coast. It's good to be able to speak with all of you today. I am talking about something interesting today because I think that it is something that we need to hear. We are living in some interesting times, to say the least. And I am talking about whether God belongs in the affairs of the United States Congress. And that's the question we're asking. Does God belong in the affairs of Congress? Well, I can tell you at least one person who thinks he doesn't. And that is Congressman Jerry Nadler from New York. He seems to not think that God belongs in Congress. So I want to talk about that. But to be sure, I am certain that there are others who think like Jerry Nadler thinks. But I bring this up because Jerry Nadler has made some statements, one in particular more recently, very recently, that I want to address with you all today. And so in these next few minutes, I want to talk about it. So, you know, again, we're living in some changing times. Let me just say this. This is not really even the meat of my, my little talk today. But, you know, as I look at our country, as I look at America, my heart is really just aching at how we are just changing. You know, just right before our very eyes, we're changing. And it is really unnecessary. We're changing because misguided people, I'm sure in their own minds, they think that they're doing the right things, but we're changing. And slowly but surely, our country is turning into a place, to a country that we no longer recognize. It is not the place that most of us grew up in. You know, everything is just changing. I mean, some of you, I'm sure, have heard about the recent changes with some of the books, with Dr. Seuss books. About 6 or 7 of the books are going to be taken off the shelves because many years ago, those books have been around a long time. And I guess, you know, a lot of things that was written in those books could be classified as sensitive and, you know, even, I guess, border on racist views or at least a racist message. Although I hesitate to call Dr. Seuss a racist. I didn't know him. He's no longer with us. But perhaps there could be some things in the books that could be at least maybe could be classified as insensitive to people of various ethnic groups. But at any rate, the cancel culture has put pressure on the organization that, I guess, carried Dr. Seuss materials, and they have decided to pull the books. I feel really bad about that because imagine what other things we do allow in our country. You know, I saw something earlier today on social media where someone posted this rapper, what's her name, Cardi B, how they listed her really filthy song with the acronym WAP, and how they listed it, that it was rated number one song of the year, and how people celebrate that. But now we're taking Dr. Seuss books off of the shelves. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing where our values are today? I mean, that we would take a dirty, filthy, very ungodly, even demonic song that this rapper, this female rapper, Cardi B, has created and has rated it the number one song of the year, and we're complaining about Dr. Seuss's book. So this is what I really think. I think that even when some things are insensitive, maybe what we ought to do is to teach our children so that they can learn. You know, why is it that we feel this need to just get rid of everything? Everything in history, I don't think belongs for us to cancel it, or for us to see how we can hide it, or to pretend that it never existed. I mean, things have existed. People have existed. And things have been taught. And why won't we take the time to have a conversation, an honest, hard conversation about some of the historical things, so that children in this generation and future generations can learn from them, so that they can teach even further, you know, generations down the road, teach them about the right and wrong of things, rather than simply trying to hide things. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know how you feel about it. Hey, feel free to call in. In fact, let me give you my guest call-in number. If you want to call in, we can talk about it. 914-205-5527. That's 914-205-5527. Call me and let's talk about it. Let's have an honest discussion about it, okay? Because I think that we need to have those discussions. So getting back to what we want to talk about today, does God belong in the affairs of Congress? Wow. So we want to kick God out of Congress. Jerry Nadler says God doesn't belong in Congress. Well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Mr. Cooper? Well, not long ago, this particular topic, let me just tell you, is centered around this very controversial bill that is the topic of much discussion in our nation. You've heard of it. It's called the Equality Act. Really, if you've ever read it, I've actually read through it. I've taken a painstaking time of reading through it. There was a website up, I guess a government website, and it allowed you to read it. And I read through it. It's long, but I read it. And let me tell you, it is anything but an Equality Act, okay? But there was a discussion centered around that, and there was a representative from my home state of Florida. His name is Representative Greg Stube. I think that's the way. It may be Stube or Stube. It's spelled S-T-E-U-B-E. And he was... you know, he was just talking, he was resorting to the ultimate authority about these things, at least from his perspective, you know, because I want to give respect to people who may not be believers and who may not be religious people, but from his perspective, he resorted to the ultimate authority, according to his belief, which is the Bible, and during an intense debate on the House floor, the Florida representative said it was time for his colleagues to hear the truth about the transgender issue, okay? But the Democrats, you know, is believed not interested in the truth, or God, for that matter. And Jerry Nadler, who's really considered a far-left radical, he didn't mind saying so. He didn't mind saying, hey, I don't want to hear that stuff. But Greg Stube went on to say, and I want to just quote him. I want to quote him. He went on to quote the scripture. A lot of it was from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, and he says, "A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this." And so he goes on to say, it's not clothing or personal style that offends God, but rather the use of one's appearance to act out or take on a sexual identity different from the one biologically assigned by God at birth. Then he says, what's happening when men, women, and children do that is that they're making a statement that God didn't know what he was doing when he created them, end quote. And if Congress supports that by passing extreme transgender bills like the Equality Act, then this country is going directly against what is laid out in scripture. That's what Mr. Stube is saying, okay? And so the Democrats, no doubt, became very irate upon hearing what Representative Stube said. And of course, they didn't like the idea that he was quoting from the scripture to make his point. And so they were very irate that this Florida congressman dared to quote the word of God on the House floor. And so everyone from, let's see, Representative Al Green, you may remember he's from Texas, to a woman by the name of Catherine Clark, who's from Massachusetts, they began to shame him for being, here it is, transphobic and intolerant. I mean, isn't that the cry when you go against the left, right? Is that when you don't agree with them, you're going to be something, right? You're going to be called something, because that's the only way that the left knows how to fight. So rather than simply disagreeing and giving a coherent, you know, maybe oppositional debate, they prefer name calling. And the name calling, of course, is designed to intimidate and to put fear in a person who is stating their case. And so Representatives Green and Clark, that's what they did when they began to try to shame Mr. Stube by calling him transphobic and intolerant. But it was Congressman Nadler's response that was perhaps the most shocking and revealing. So here's what he said, and I quote Mr. Stube: "What any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress," end quote. Wow. Listen to that again. "What any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress." In other words, take your God and your Bible and leave them out of this. Take your God and your Bible and leave them out of this. And so almost immediately, a picture of Nadler started circulating on social media with the line, "God has no authority in the House of Representatives," at the top. And so obviously it was a paraphrase of Nadler's comment, but it was a legitimate expression of his belief and the left's, which is that there's no room for God in public policy. Now, we shouldn't be surprised because, you know, they have stated that. But not surprisingly, the fact checkers, well, you can guess, they began to rush to Nadler's defense, insisting that he said nothing of the kind. In fact, there was a couple of sites, I don't know if you're familiar with them. One is called PolitiFact. Let's see. The other, I believe, you know, I forget, there's several of them. I mean, so many I was reading, but the probably the, well, actually USA Today, you know, a major newspaper was one as well. And, but USA Today, for example, put up in one of the main, I guess you say, captions, they said, quote, falsely attributed to Jerry Nadler. That's what USA Today insisted. And then PolitiFact headline was, Jerry Nadler didn't say God has no authority in the House of Representatives. But only at the bottom of the piece does the outlet concede, and I quote, that's similar to what's in the Facebook post, but it's not a direct quote. And then they go on to say, we rate the post false, end quote. Now, I understand that perhaps a lot of people don't follow Jerry Nadler or don't even know who he is. He's held a lot of, you know, important positions in Congress. He's a lawyer. Like I said, he's from New York. But anyone who's followed Jerry Nadler knows that it isn't a leap for him to drop God from the congressional oath to demand we leave him out of the public debate altogether. In fact, it's fine to split hairs and people, in fact, you know, and people repeated them because there's a clear pattern with him. The truth is this, Nadler wants God removed from the House of Representatives. Now, just to give you some examples of this, there is another House of Representatives member by the name of Mike Johnson. He's out of Louisiana. And if it wasn't for him, do you know there would have been many United States Congress people who would have been sworn in without the part that says, so help me God. Because what he's done, he was going through the sworn, you know, the swearing in testimony, you know, when you get sworn in as a new congressperson. And he has gone through that, and Congressman Mike Johnson has said, Mr. Chairman, in fact, this was during July, well, during 2019, and it was at a Judiciary Committee meeting, and in fact, you know, Nadler headed that committee, and it was during that time where it was a point of parliamentary inquiry that Mike Johnson stood up and he says, we had a conversation on the floor last week, and I just noted you left out, so help me God. And then Jerry Nadler responded, he says, do you want me to repeat the whole oath? And then Mike Johnson responded, I love it. He says, I would love that. Thank you. And then Nadler went through it. And then later he told some reporters who heard about it, he said, listen to this, he says he forgot. Now, the truth is this, and unfortunately for Americans, and listen, I don't want to sound like a partisan. I'm not a politician. I have convictions. I have values. I have principles. I have belief systems, and I want to be a voice of reason. I want to be a fair-minded, balanced person, but I have eyes, I see, I have ears, I hear, and, you know, I understand things, but I want to say this. Unfortunately for Americans, Democrats aren't forgetting faith. I don't believe for one moment that Jerry Nadler forgot to add, so help me God, okay? I don't believe that for one moment. The Democrats aren't forgetting faith, they're actually fighting it. And the Equality Act is all the evidence anyone should need, because under it, there is no room for orthodox religion anywhere, not in Congress, not in the workplace, not in social services or medicine, not in schools, not even in Christian schools, okay? It's one thing for liberals to kick God out of the Pledge of Allegiance or their Democratic National Convention, but it's quite another to force the rest of the country to abandon him too. So I want you to consider the fallout. So Representative Stubbe warned, he says, and this is pretty deep, listen to this. He says, and I quote, "Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation will inevitably bear the consequences," end quote. I think he's on to something. And that's exactly what we're seeing in this gender identity chaos. So since the minute Joe Biden became president, he's made it his mission to destroy any sense of sanity on the issue, right? Even nominating a man who identifies as a woman to the second most important post at the HHS. Yet, when people like Senator Rand Paul, who is a medical doctor, by the way, point out the utter disaster this agenda has been for children, they're shamed and marginalized. But fortunately, even that isn't stopping, you know, conservatives who are fighting. And so I want you to think about that. Does God belong in the affairs of Congress? Now, we have a problem, because to answer that, let's look at how really silly this question is, and let's look at how really unscrupulous Jerry Nadler sounds. Because when you think about it, here are some things that I want to remind all of you of, just in case you haven't given this any consideration. Okay, I have like 7 minutes that I'm gonna do this in, but this is very serious. Now I want you to consider these things. First of all, be reminded of this fact: every congressman or congresswoman who is newly elected to the House of Representatives, the United States Congress, is sworn in on the Bible. Right now, I have heard that there's been a couple of people who have been sworn in on, Quran. I don't know whether that's true or not. I have heard it, but I know this. Historically, they should be sworn in on the Bible. But I do know this, is that phrase, that as they're sworn in to uphold the Constitution of the United States and all of this against, all enemies, foreign and domestic. And at the end of that, what do they close it with? So help me God. Every congressman, every congresswoman, all right, that they are sworn in and they repeat those words, all right? Now, that's one thing. Here's the second thing. Did you know that at each session, at the opening of each session of Congress, whether you're talking about the House of Representatives or whether you're talking about the United States Senate, did you know that in each session, the opening, there is an opening prayer? Because the House of Representatives has a chaplain and the United States Senate has a chaplain. And they both open a prayer to pray to the God of the Scriptures, and they pray, because I've heard them pray. I've even had a friend to pray in the United States Senate before as they opened, okay? So I know that they pray to the God of the scripture, and they pray to ask God to intervene, to ask God to give the representatives, the people who represent their constituency, to lead them and to grant them wisdom, and so that the work of the people might go forward and all of that. So that is done each and every time there is a session of the House of Representatives or the United States Senate that is open, there is a prayer. And as far as I know, it has always been done by someone who subscribes to Christianity, okay? Whether it be a Catholic priest or whether it be a Protestant minister, all right? I've never heard of an imam or somebody outside of Christianity. Okay, if you've heard it, you can bring it to my attention. I have never heard that. So my point is that each session of Congress is open with prayer. Then, being a military person myself, I can tell you that every military person that is sworn into the armed forces is sworn in, and also that they are sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the same phrase at the end is, so help me God. And then, of course, if you've ever had to go to court and if you've ever had to testify, you usually put your left hand on the Bible and you raise your right hand and you're sworn in to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. All right? So what is my point? My point is this. If Jerry Nadler truly believes, if he truly believes that that there is no place that listen, let me read it again. What any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. In other words, take your God and your Bible and leave them out of this. This is me paraphrasing at the end. But the point is, if he believes that God has no concern with the Congress, then Mr. Nadler, please tell me and the American people, what in the world are you opening up with prayer for? If God has no place, why are we praying to him? Why are we asking him for wisdom so that our representatives might be endowed with divine wisdom so that the people's work could get done? Why are we asking God to protect our nation from enemies, foreign and domestic? If God has no place, why are we praying? Why are we putting our hands on the Bible? And why are we saying, so help me God, when we don't expect God to be anywhere in the equation? Sometimes people are so cold and so they're just so ignorant about what is real and what is needed in their understanding, that because they're so hateful and they're so anti a particular crowd or a particular constituency that they don't care anything about other people. They have no empathy. They have no compassion. And so it's the silliest thing. And so let me just say something. That if God doesn't belong in Congress, then we do not have a country that is one nation under God. Because for the record, for those of you who don't know, government was created and instituted by Almighty God himself. And if you want to see that in the Holy Scripture, you can look in Romans chapter 13, and there you will see where God not only creates government, but he endows government with authority from on high, and he's asked all of citizens to abide by government under his rule. So until the next time, this is the Voice of Reason Talk Show with your host, Wayne Cooper. We'll see you again on next Wednesday.